This is a podcast from WILL AM 580. To support our station, please visit www.willpledge.org. That's www.willpledge.org.
This is the AM 580 News Daily Podcast for Wednesday, January 24th. I'm Jeff Bossert. Coming up, one federal agency in Tennessee has put an end to the practice of land swapping. And we'll have a look at your AM 580 weather forecast for Champaign-Urbana. But first, today's news. Illinois Congressman Tim Johnson of Urbana and John Shimkus of Collinsville both praised President Bush for calling for energy independence and increased use of ethanol in his State of the Union address last night. But in news releases issued after the speech, both Republicans seem to part ways on what the president had to say about Iraq. Johnson says the president's proposal to increase the number of troops there is unwise because the plan doesn't have a clear objective. Shimkus, meanwhile, says the current situation in Iraq pleases no one, but failure was not an option. While his comments didn't directly address the president's proposal for more troops, he did say that the U.S. must help Iraq establish a stable government to keep terrorists from using the country as a base of operation. Illinois Senator Barack Obama, meanwhile, didn't wait long last night to voice his opposition to the stance President Bush took on the Iraq War. Bush challenged opponents of his Iraq troop buildup, saying the nation should find its resolve and turn events toward victory. But Obama says most Americans believe escalation will not bring the war in Iraq to a responsible end. The senator says he favors not just a troop cap, but a phased redeployment that will start bringing the troops home. Obama, known for his bipartisan tendencies as a state senator and now a U.S. senator, also praised the president. He notes the president is offering serious proposals on energy and health care that must be addressed. Champaign City Council changed its mind last night, voting for a less expensive plan for Boneyard Creek stormwater detention between Green Street and University Avenue. AM 580's Jim Meadows reports.
The version approved last night would cost the city $17.8 million, $2.5 million less than the one the council endorsed 2 weeks ago. Both flood control plans would curb flooding and add new parkland along the Boneyard from Scott Park north to University Avenue. But the cheaper plan would make less use of costly underground floodwater storage and instead build a large above-ground retention basin between Springfield and White Streets. That would cut into acreage for flat park space, which Councilwoman Marcy Dodd says is short-sighted.
15 years from now, when people walk by and they look down and they say, gee, this could have been so much more, are we going to pop out of the bushes and say, yes, but 15 years ago we saved you $2 million?
The aesthetics of the Boneyard project are key because council members wanted to serve as a green gateway linking campus town and downtown Champaign. But a slim majority, including Mayor Jerry Schweihart, said the additional flat parkland would not be worth the additional cost. I'm Jim Meadows, AM 580 News.
Urbana City Council will vote next month on a new system to ticket landlords who fail to make quick repairs to rental property once a complaint has been filed. Housing inspectors making follow-up visits would be able to issue the tickets under a section of Urbana's new property maintenance code. The proposal for rental property maintenance tickets comes from a former alderwoman, Esther Patt, of the Champaign-Urbana Tenant Union. She says under the current system, landlords ordered to make routine repairs to property can put off the work for months without being fined.
When people come to you for a complaint, with a complaint, because they can't get their landlord to do the work, it really shouldn't take months after that. And I think if there were some penalty to a landlord for not taking seriously that initial deadline from the city, that more of the landlords who dance around that deadline would actually get the work done.
The Urbana City Council directed city staff Monday to come up with legal language for property maintenance tickets as part of the new property maintenance code. The council could vote on the entire proposal at its February 12th meeting. Teen drivers would face additional restrictions under proposed legislation that Secretary of State Jesse White is planning to submit to the General Assembly. Spokesman Randy Nert says the new measures would include requiring learner's permits for 9 months instead of 3 and establishing an earlier driving curfew for 16 and 17-year-old motorists. Teens also would be restricted to one non-related passenger under age 20 for their first year as a licensed driver. The recommendations resulted from a task force White established last year to examine ways to improve teen driver safety in the state. The task force reported crashes involving drivers between the ages of 15 and 20 caused 260 deaths in Illinois in 2005. The latest year, such figures are available. The head of a new mass transit district in southwest Champaign says the property tax they're seeking is less than a tenth of what the existing MTD taxes its residents. At a public hearing February 8th, the Champaign Southwest MTD Board will take public comment on a proposal to put a referendum on the April ballot. The board is proposing a tax rate of 2.6 cents per $100 assessed valuation. That comes out to just under $9 on a $100,000 home. Champaign Southwest MTD Board Chairman Ted Vaughn says his board only wants the minimum needed to function and keep alive its legal battle against the Champaign-Urbana MTD.
Every one of us believes that taxation ought to be like taking money from your grandchildren, that you have to take it. Well, if you take money from a grandchild, you're going to take as little as you must take, and you're going to use it as frugally and as just like a spendthrift. And the best way you can.
Following the February 8th hearing, the Champaign Southwest MTD Board will vote whether to ask the county clerk to place the referendum on the April 17th ballot. Funds from the property tax levy are needed to pay its attorney and distribute public notices. The new MTD was formed by referendum last spring after the Champaign-Urbana MTD in 2005 annexed many neighborhoods in southwest Champaign. Indiana Senate Minority Leader Richard Young is the first candidate for governor in next year's election. Young filed to form an exploratory committee with the Indiana Election Division yesterday. He says former First Lady Judy O'Bannon will head his campaign. Young is a 64-year-old Democrat from Milltown in southern Indiana. He's considered a long shot for the office currently held by Republican Governor Mitch Daniels. He says he's running for governor to provide responsive leadership for Indiana and to try to reunite Hoosiers. For the latest newscast online, go to wiol.uiuc.edu/news. This is the AM 580 News Daily Podcast. I'm Jeff Bosser. For most of the last century, the federal government has engaged in a practice known as land swapping. That's where the federal government sells or trades land with private property owners. In recent years, land swapping has become increasingly controversial as developers build neighborhoods on previously undeveloped public land. But one federal agency has put an end to the practice. Some conservationists hope this recent development represents a new era for the protection of federally owned land. Matt Schaefer Powell reports.
In the 1930s and 40s, the federal government used eminent domain, or the threat of it, to seize land all over the country. It bought up the land to build dams to make electricity. One of the biggest projects took place in the southeastern U.S. That's where the federal government created the Tennessee Valley Authority and flooded much of the Tennessee River Valley. What was once deep gullies and hillsides became lakes and reservoirs surrounded by forests. The TVA still owns about 300,000 acres of undeveloped land throughout the region. For most of the last 70 years, the public has used this land for recreation and conservation. Billy Mincer is a wildlife biologist. He says the public is very protective of that land.
It provides outstanding public resource for recreation and beauty. It gives people a place to rekindle the human spirit, a place to relax, hunt, fish, camp, bird watch, or maybe just sit home and think about how pretty the lakes are.
In 2003, the TVA angered conservationists like Mincer when it traded some of that land to a residential developer who built an upscale subdivision on it. And it happened again last year with another swatch of pristine lakeshore property. Mincer claims those deals betrayed the public, but they also betrayed those families who lost their land to the government years ago.
If the government takes your house and bulldozes it down because it's not enough value and then sells it to me so I can build another house on it in the same place, is that right? That's wrong. That is absolutely wrong, and the public's done with it.
Land exchanges are nothing new. Federal agencies like the U.S. Forest Service and the Bureau of Land Management have been swapping land with private property owners and state and local governments for decades. The practice is often used to fill in holes in national forests or get rid of land that the government can't use. Glenn Collins is with the Public Lands Foundation. In some cases, he says the feds end up with more and better land. But that means a lot of previously untouched land ends up in the hands of developers.
The federal lands that are placed into private ownership invariably go into development. Either the land, the large block, is subdivided into smaller blocks on paper, or there are maybe roads, improvements. It'll be put up for sale.
Over the years, the public has become increasingly wary of these land swaps. In the Tennessee Valley, public outcry about the deals eventually forced a change in the TVA's philosophy. The agency's board of directors recently voted to approve a new policy that bans the sale or trade of TVA land to private residential developers.
All those in favor of the committee's policy on land, say aye.
Aye. Aye.
Oppose?
No.
That one dissenting vote came from board member Bill Baxter, demonstrating the fact that not everyone is wild about the ban. In explaining his no vote, Baxter echoed the sentiments of economic development officials who worry that an all-out ban on residential development will compromise their chances of attracting people and money to the region. Baxter used the example of rural communities that would normally have a hard time attracting industry.
Perhaps their best hope for doing some economic development and increasing the tax base so they can improve the schools for their kids and their road and their health care is to have some high-end residential development. It's a beautiful part of the country, and we're fortunate a lot of people want to retire here.
In the end, Baxter's claims that residential development is economic development failed to resonate with either the public or his colleagues on the board. After the vote at the TVA's board meeting, Michael Butler of the Tennessee Wildlife Federation called the new policy a monumental accomplishment.
I think it's also part of a sound quality of life and tax policy into the future to look at how we use conservation lands to really develop a sustainable way to have a growing economy, which has got to be part of the equation, and to have a place where these people can go enjoy themselves that isn't in front of a television set all the time.
The fact that the government used eminent domain to acquire a lot of the TVA's land means the people in the region are passionately vigilant about what happens to it. But the public's passion for land isn't exclusive to the Tennessee Valley, and so the decisions made here could have a long-term effect on the way the government approaches future land exchanges throughout the country. For the Environment Report, I'm Matt Schaefer-Powell.
The Environment Report is a production of Michigan Radio. Support comes from the Joyce Foundation, the George Gund Foundation, and USDA's Cooperative Extension Service. Have something to say about the Environment Report? Send email to feedback@environmentreport.org.
In the forecast for the region today, expect mostly cloudy skies, scattered flurries possible, the high around 32. Mostly cloudy tonight, scattered flurries with a low around 17. For Thursday, partly cloudy skies with a high in the upper 20s. This has been the AM 580 News Daily Podcast for Wednesday, January 24th. You can find podcasts of Focus 580, the afternoon magazine, agricultural programming, as well as other helpful information at our website, wiol.uiuc.edu. I'm Jeff Bossert, AM 580 News.